morning, our devotional comes from 2 Kings 19, 31 through 37. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he enter, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city and save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. And Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Shazer, his son, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Arsahardin, his son, reigned in his stead. I apologize for some of those pronunciations. I had trouble with them this morning. So, are there any announcements before we go to class? Let's go to Sunday school.
Are you coming
this time? The title of our lesson today is Hezekiah's Prayer. And our lesson text comes from 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And Hezekiah's prayer isn't in this section of the scriptures. It's back earlier over into the 19th chapter. And I'm probably going to go back and read that here in just a minute. But as I studied this, my thoughts went not quite as much to Hezekiah's prayer as to the condition of God's people at this point in time. So I might be a little bit scattered here, but we'll see. I'll do the best that I can with it. But right now I'll read out of 2 Kings 20th chapter verses 1 through 7. That'll be in our Sunday school book. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. In the lesson key, And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now, I started off here, I said that his prayer wasn't listed. It is in the third verse here. But the prayer that that came to my mind was over in the 14th verse of the 19th chapter of 2 Kings. And I want to read this. And to give you a little bit of background study thought here, the king of Assyria has sent his servant Rabshakeh, and I may have not pronounced that right, but the king of Assyria has sent his servant to the children of Israel, and he is demanding that they submit unto him, that they go into captivity unto them. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, for just a second. And just in case, to help explain a little bit why I'm scattered here, I left my Sunday school book and my Bible here at church last week because we had the fifth Sunday downstairs and I didn't come back upstairs and get it, so I had to study out of a different Bible and use Lisa's Sunday school book to put my notes in, and that just kind of threw me off. It doesn't take much to throw me off, but okay, anyhow, going to the 18th chapter here and the 28th verse. And this is the servant of the king of Assyria speaking. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language. And note here that he's crying. He speaks a different language. He speaks the language of the Assyrians, but he's speaking in the Jews' language here. Now, the two of the Jews didn't want him to do this. They understood the Syrian language, and they wanted him to speak to them so that the other Jews wouldn't be able to understand it. And he's not going to do that. He's going to speak so that they can all understand it. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the land of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me. Then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one out of the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" We'll stop right there. And what he's saying to the Jews here is, don't listen to Hezekiah when Hezekiah tells you to turn to your God. Don't obey him. Submit unto this king of Assyria. He'll take care of you. He'll feed you. He'll let you live in your own land for a while. And when he takes you out, he'll take you out to another land that's just as good, and everything's going to be great. Now, think back a little bit to when Moses was standing before the Pharaoh. One of the conditions that the Pharaoh said to Moses was, okay, then this was on later after some of the plagues and different things that occurred. Go out, take the men of Israel. Y'all go out a little peace and y'all worship God the way that you want to worship him. Just leave the women and the kids here where they'll be safe and they can eat and they'll be taken care of. Y'all just take the men out. But that wasn't what God had commanded. And in my mind, that is the way that Satan attacks God's people. Satan was behind those things when the Pharaoh spoke with Moses. Satan was behind this right here when this servant of the king of Assyria was standing before them. He was trying to say, just let a few things slide. Just be at peace here with us and just kind of go along with what's being put before you. Don't rebel. Don't turn to God. Just kind of take it easy and everything will be okay if you'll do that. Compromise is what he's saying, and that's what this servant here of the king of Assyria said. Just compromise a little bit. Just kind of grow lax. And that's the same thing that we're often faced with today. Just to compromise. Just to go along with things. Don't rock the boat. Don't stand up and tell people that what they're doing is wrong. Don't stand up and call evil and sin. Just, if nothing else, just be quiet a little while and let it go on. It'll pass and everything will go on the way it was and you'll be okay. That's the same situation that this people was in right here. Just go along with it. It'll be okay. He won't be harsh with you. There's nothing your God's going to do anyway. Those other gods, they couldn't do anything. Going to the 19th verse and the 19th chapter, the 14th verse. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And now, this is referring back to some of the things that's been said from the king of Assyria. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. And that name that I just mangled up there was the king of Assyria. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. And here's another thing that Satan does. He puts forth a little bit of truth. What that servant of the king of Assyria said was true. They had not been able to stand. The king of Assyria had destroyed those other nations and those other gods. And Satan will do the same thing today. He'll put forth a little bit of truth to advance a lie. And hath cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdom of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Now, this is a prayer that God heard both of Hezekiah's prayers. But this is the prayer that came to my mind concerning how that the Assyrians were stopped. And as I studied this, I think that it's written out of order. And I'm not 100% sure about that. But there were either two attempts by the Assyrians to invade Israel, or there was one. And this part where Hezekiah is sick unto death occurred during these times, that when he was faced with this impending invasion from Assyria. And I think that's what happened. So, and I think when he prayed this prayer in the third verse, he had already prayed this other prayer here concerning the impending overthrow of Israel. And I believe God heard both prayers. But carrying on here, I want you to go now to the 2 Kings, the 19th chapter, in the 3rd verse. This is something that Hezekiah said, sent unto Isaiah. And they said unto him, the messengers of Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, and they said unto him, Isaiah, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. The children of Israel are faced with this Rebishah, which is spoken unto them in their own language, and they've heard the threats and the blasphemy that this servant of the king of Israel has issued forth, and they're scared. They're taking it to heart. They don't know what to do, and there's not strength to bring forth. They're not a strong people. They've grown weak. They've been involved in idol worship in times past. Hezekiah's own father was an evil man, and Hezekiah broke from the ways of his father and had the groves destroyed. Hezekiah was a righteous man, but the people are still, they're not in great shape spiritually. Hezekiah knows this, and he's gone to, he's put this forth to Isaiah, and he's praying about it because he sees what's going on. He sees this great threat that's before them, and he sees the people of God aren't a strong people. They haven't been strong in the past, and they're scared, and they don't know what to do, and they have doubts. They don't have faith in God. That's often the case with God's people, I'm afraid. We don't have faith in God, and we don't turn to Him right off the bat. We tend to let these things weigh us down, and we worry. I know I do. And Satan will take that, and he'll run with it. And that's what Satan was using against these people here. He was using their fear and their lack of faith in God to bring them down, to wear them out. But we know from the devotion and background study that Jimmy read here, and it says in the 35th verse of the 20th chapter, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Now, the reason the children of Israel were afraid, I believe, was because physically they didn't stand a chance against this number of people. They were vastly outnumbered, and looking at it from a carnal viewpoint, they didn't stand a chance. There was no way. And they were weak in faith towards God to see that God was going to be able to deliver them. Had they been strong, had they had the eyes to look spiritually, they wouldn't have been so scared. They would have trusted in God the way that they ought to, the way that Hezekiah did. And we see here that God has delivered them, and He delivered them in a miraculous way. Is there any reason why we would have doubts about that God could deliver our country today? He can, and He will if we'll trust in Him and turn to Him. Now, this people was a weak people, but there were a few there that turned to Him. Isaiah, I believe, turned to Him and prayed, and I know that Hezekiah did. We can read here Hezekiah's prayers. There were at least two of them and possibly many more. Now, one thing that's a little bit confusing here, God has gone to Hezekiah and He said, "You're going to die. Set your house in order." And I wonder, why did He say that? The only thing, and I don't know, I might be wrong, the only thing that I can come up with was Hezekiah had done what he was supposed to do. He'd prayed to God. I believe God heard this prayer that I read earlier from the 19th, from the 14th verse in the 19th chapter. God had heard that prayer, and God knew He was going to answer it. He knew that He was going to save these people. And He looked at Hezekiah, and I think He knew Hezekiah was finished. I think He knew that his work was accomplished, and there really wasn't a whole lot left for him to do, or anything left for him to do. Now, I could be way off base. I just don't know. But if you read on about Hezekiah, he didn't really accomplish anything else. In fact, he made a serious mistake. He showed I think he was the king of Egypt, but I'm not sure. He showed another king all that he had, and Isaiah had to come to him and say, "Now, that king is going to come and take everything that you've got, everything that's in your house. This land is going to be invaded because of what you did, how that you showed me." That's what I read about Hezekiah. So I kind of think that Hezekiah would have been better off to set his house in order the way that God commanded him to do through Isaiah. What that entailed, I'm not exactly sure, but nevertheless, you know, that we can stand there and say "what if" all day long. We just don't know what might have happened. But if you don't get anything else out of this lesson today, I want you to get that Satan is out there, and he's putting forth things today just the same way that he did back then. He's using the same tools, a little bit of truth mixed in with a big lie, and you know, he is dependent upon God's people to be carnal. He's dependent upon us to be weak in faith, to not trust in God, not to turn to God, but to look at the easy route that he puts forth. You know, I don't think Satan necessarily wants to make us suffer. I don't think he wants to bring us down. What he wants to do is separate us from God. And if he can supply us with something to distract us, to draw us to the side, to get us out of church and out into the things of the world, well, that's great. If we enjoy those carnal things and move along, that doesn't really bother him. As long as we don't turn to God and pray and ask for forgiveness when we've done wrong, Satan's okay with that. He can't touch our souls, us that has been saved. He can't do anything about our eternal home in glory. That's sealed, and we as God's people know that. But he can destroy our influence if we'll let him. If we'll grow weak and turn away from God, he'll destroy our influence that we have upon the lost. He'll destroy our influence we have to change things that are going on in our country and in our own families. If we'll just let him do that, he'll be there to do that. I guess that's all that I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments? Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, these people knew what had occurred when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They knew all those things. Now, the children of Israel that were in Egypt at that time, okay, maybe you can maybe see where they might have a little bit of doubt, because they didn't really have that particular history to look back upon. But this people knew about that. They knew they could look back on how God had rescued his people at least once in the past. And we today, we know about it. We can look back and see those same things. And yet it's still easy for us to get weak and grow complacent. Let's keep the prayer request upon our hearts that was made earlier today. Let's be in prayer for the preacher as he tries to stand. God might be with him, direct him. But I guess most of all, we need to be in prayer for each other, because we need one another's prayers. I need y'all's prayers, and I believe y'all need mine. If there's nothing else, let's be dismissed. And I'll ask Brother Callis if he would to dismiss us.
Gracious, kind Heavenly Father, thank you for this another beautiful day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings. Thank you. Thanks for the glories as they are. Yes, the Heavenly Father, bless you. Yes, Heavenly Father, you pastor for the humanity. Stands today. Bless you. Believe God.